The reading is Matthew 6, verses 5 to 13, and today we're using the New Living Translation, which will be on the screen for you. When you pray, don't be like the hypocrites, who love to pray publicly on street corners and in the synagogues where everyone can see them. I tell you the truth, that is all the reward they will ever get. But when you pray, go away by yourself, shut the door behind you, and pray to your Father in private. Then your Father who sees everything will reward you. When you pray, don't babble on, as people of other religions do. They think their prayers are answered merely by repeating their words again and again. Don't be like them, for your Father knows exactly what you need even before you ask him. Pray like this. Our Father in heaven, may your name be kept holy. May your kingdom come soon. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today the food we need, and forgive us our sins, as we have forgiven those who sin against us. And don't let us yield to temptation, but rescue us from the evil one. Now let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this precious prayer that you gave us and all it reveals about how to pray to you. Thank you too for the message you've given to Tim. Please help him to deliver it faithfully and us to hear and act on what you want to teach us. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, Jackie. Good morning, everyone. Good to see you. Today we'll continue this series in the Lord's Prayer, particularly around this kind of focus of the mystery of prayer and the challenge that we've just read, that Jesus says there are ways of praying that simply don't work. So lots of us pray, but we can sometimes pray in ways that just don't connect. How do we pray, therefore, we're asking in this series, in a way that connects with God and has a real impact in our lives and our world? Who wants that? Yeah? Well, our prayers to work, don't we? You know, on Tuesday this week, it was raining again. Anyone been praying about the rain? Anyone fed up with the rain? Yeah, quite a few of us. Well, I was complaining about the rain to David. And I said that we just need the sun to shine. You know, it just feels different when the sun shines, doesn't it? You know, when you get the warmth of the sun on your face, the brightness comes. Everything feels different, doesn't it, in life? And, you know, David, typical scientist, said, well, actually, the sun is always shining. It's the clouds that are the problem. And it was like a kind of light bulb went off in my head. I was like, yeah, that's our problem in life. It's the clouds. It's the trouble. It's the storms that kind of come in and they seem to obscure and stop us kind of connecting with God and actually even connecting with one another as well. And, you know, in many ways, this series, and actually particularly this morning, we're thinking about how can we pray in a way that causes us to rise above the clouds that we might see the sun, S-O-N. How do we have that sort of prayer that actually touches heaven, because that's what we need, isn't it? You know, according to research by King's College London in last year released, about 50% of the population still believes in God. And you may be in that 50%, you may not be. We saw last week that many of those people pray, but not many have that sense of connection with God. And that's a challenge, actually, for many that actually not just a sense of disconnection from God, but many have that challenge with other people as well, a sense of disconnection in life with others. You know, according to Maslow's hierarchy of needs about what leads to happiness and well-being in life, besides the kind of very basic needs of food and safety, the most vital things we need are love and belonging. Love and belonging. I wonder, do you have a sense of love and belonging in your life? Or do you feel disconnected? You know, our culture is desperately trying to kind of solve this conundrum that though we are in many ways kind of more connected than ever, you can message on Facebook, Instagram, email, WhatsApp, LinkedIn, Slack, text, you can even phone people. If they're under 30, they won't reply. They won't pick up the phone unless you text them first. You can communicate in all these ways, and yet many people still feel isolated. Where do you find connection and intimacy? Where do you feel valued and known and loved? You know, for all its faults, and there are many, I think one of the reasons the LGBTQI movement has had such momentum is it's trying to provide an answer to this sense of dislocation that so many people feel in society. This sense that they don't belong or feel understood or valued or loved. And it's kind of being met by an offer of a group identity that's quite attractive. You know, if we're honest, today not many people believe that the church has the answer to love and belonging in our world. And actually, even it seems like a lot of Christians don't believe that either. If we look at the kind of decline in church attendance over the decades in the UK. So what's wrong? What's wrong with the church? Well, that's actually one of the issues that Jesus is addressing as he teaches the Lord's Prayer, because at this point, God's people had gone way off track. They'd become harsh rather than welcoming, critical rather than kind, sort of angry rather than loving. He calls them hypocrites. And at the center of the kind of most famous sermon ever preached, which is where this Lord's Prayer comes, on the Sermon on the Mount, which actually kind of, it deliberately echoes the sermon and the encounter that Moses has on Mount Sinai. Jesus says, there is a different way of living and being. A way that leads to blessing with God, a sense of encounter above the clouds with God, but also deep connection with one another and healing for our broken world. And at the heart of that teaching on the Sermon on the Mount is a prayer that actually echoes the Ten Commandments, that teaches us both how to connect with God with the intimacy we long for, that's the first three petitions, but also how to live with others. That's the last three petitions we'll look at together. As Pope Benedict points out, it begins with God and from there shows us the way towards being human. And there's a fantastic book that he's written all about this. That's why the Lord's Prayer is so important. It's addressing our kind of most fundamental need for love and belonging with God and with one another. But notice verse 9, look in your Bibles. Jesus doesn't say this is what you should pray, but he says this is how. How you should pray. We're not kind of confined to these words, though the words are very helpful. And actually by the second century, all Christians were told, yeah, you should pray this prayer three times a day. Okay? That's how important it was in the life of the early church. So you can use the words, but most importantly, what they're providing is a pattern of prayer that leads us to the kind of encounter that takes us above the clouds into the presence of God. Do you want a touch of heaven today? Yeah? I do. How do we get that? Well, prayer that touches heaven, first of all, has to be to the Father.
It's to the Father. This prayer begins in such a surprising way. Our Father. Jesus says for prayer to work, you have to come to God as your Father. What does that mean? You know, aren't we always supposed to, we're Christians, you know, aren't we always supposed to pray to Jesus? You know, or can't you just kind of pray to any God? No, Jesus says pray to God, the Father. The whole purpose of prayer is an intimate encounter with God, our Father in heaven. The answer to our deepest longings and to finding our identity are not found by gazing inwards, as so many are doing at the moment, but by lifting our heads upwards to our Father in heaven, where we discover who God is and who we are, what it is to be a child of God. Pope Benedict says this word Father contains the whole history of redemption. This is not just pointing out how we pray, but it's why Jesus came, who we are, what God's purpose is in the world. It's why all the ancient creeds of the church begin, we believe in one God, the Father. That's the supreme revelation of God, the Father Almighty. It's one of the most beautiful and mind-blowing aspects of prayer. You see, we long for intimacy in life. Jesus says it's possible to know the God of heaven like a child knows their father. That's amazing. And notice we don't do that alone. The very first words set us in a context of intimacy with others. We pray, our Father. We'll come back to this, but this is a prayer. We pray with others. You know, if we pray our Father, if we share the same Father, what must that mean we are? Brothers and sisters. Here is pictured in two words the solution to all the problems in our world. People coming together not to fight, but brought together into family as they meet with their heavenly Father. Is that amazing? It's what we need. It's what our world needs. And it would have been jaw-dropping to hear those words for those listening, because they thought God was distant, unapproachable. And it leaves them and us with that question, what does this mean? You know, one of the questions many have about prayer is, well, isn't everyone, kind of regardless of religion, just praying to the same God? Is God everyone's Father? Well, in one sense, yes. You know, God as Father speaks to the fact that God is our creator. He is literally our Father in the sense that he made every one of us, and we are his children in that regard. Malachi 2 verse 10 puts it this way, have we not all one Father? Did not one God create us? This kind of speaks of the essential dignity of every person created in the image of God. We should never diminish that. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world, the whole world, that he gave his Son. Whoever you are, whatever you believed, you are loved by God. God loves you. But there is more to the story of God as Father, which kind of gets to the heart of this sense we have in our world that things are kind of so broken. And it's this simple truth that though God is our Father, we don't know him anymore. We've lost connection with our Father God. The clouds have kind of come in. And you might think, well, why is that? Do I have that sense in life that I can't connect with God? Well, like Adam in the garden, we've chosen to reject God's love and his fatherly care. We chose what we thought would be freedom and independence from God, but has actually been the very thing that's brought all the trouble and chaos into our world. And the greatest loss of all, the loss of God's presence in our lives and all the dislocation that we experience with one another. Brothers become enemies almost immediately, we see in Genesis. And all the insecurity and chaos in our world kind of flows from that in a similar way to the way that chaos always flows when families break down. Our kind of worldwide family has broken down as we've lost our connection with God. And that is true of God's people too. So in Jeremiah 3:19, it says this, "I thought you would call me father," this is God speaking, "and not turn away from following me. But like a woman unfaithful to her husband, so you, Israel, God's people, have been unfaithful to me, declares the Lord." We are, in so many ways, like that prodigal son that Jesus tells the story of. You know, of the son who says to the father, I give me my inheritance. I want to live independently from you. Why does God allow that? Why does God allow his children to just kind of wander off? Well, Henri Nouwen writes this in his book on the prodigal son. He says, "As father, God wants his children to be free, free to love. That freedom includes the possibility of their leaving home, going to a distant country and losing everything. The father's heart knows all the pain that will come from that choice, but his love makes him powerless to prevent it." You know, such is the love of God that he never forces anyone. We are free to leave. And in that sense, the story of each one of us is that we've lost our position as children in the house of God. Not because God didn't want us, but because we didn't want God. And the big question is how do we get home? You know, because underneath all our longings, underneath all the different ways we try to fulfill those longings, is the deep unfulfilled longing we have to be home with our Father. So how do you get home? Well, actually, the answer isn't just praying these words, "Our Father." You could pray, "Our Father, our Father, O Father," over and over again, and never connect with God. And you might think, well, what do you mean? I thought this was about how to pray correctly. Well, yes, it is about praying to our Father, but prayer that works, prayer that touches heaven, is to the Father, but it has to be through the Son. To the Father, through the Son. This is not a kind of magic formula of prayer. It's pushing us far deeper than that. Why does Jesus teach us to pray, "Our Father," rather than "My Father"? Why does he do that? Kind of this speaks to like the most profound truth of how God's children get restored to his home. You know, most religions are kind of man's attempt at getting back to God in some way. You know, praying a certain number of times, doing particular things. That is not Christianity. You know, this prayer reveals that the way our relationship gets restored is not about us somehow climbing our way up to heaven, but by God coming down to us. It is not what we do, but what God does, what Christ does. You know, there is only one in all of human history who could truly call God my Father. And that is the one who is teaching us to pray, Jesus himself. See, God the Father is where, according to this prayer? Our Father who is in heaven. In heaven. That speaks of God's greatness and his majesty, his otherness. Isaiah describes God as the holy, holy, holy God. He is, as one hymn puts it, ineffably sublime. You know, we should never kind of take lightly this thing of coming into the presence of God. That's one of the things that this prayer is showing us, that is that to come into God's presence is the most awesome thing. He is worthy of all praise and honor and power. This prayer reminds us God is in heaven. So as it says in Ecclesiastes, let your words be few. We are on earth. And because of our actions, because of our sin, because of what we wanted, we have lost connection with the transcendent, with God in heaven. And yes, God in his love allows us to have what we want, to walk away. Yet in love, he longs that we would be reconciled. And that is why Jesus came. It's not that we get to heaven in some way by our actions, but that Jesus comes, God comes from heaven to earth. You know, Jesus was the unique Son of God, fully man, fully God. And if you're wondering what that means, do come to our theology course that we're going to be doing after half term. But Matthew 11:27, Jesus says this. He says, no one knows the Son except the Father. And no one knows the Father except the Son. There's this unique relationship that Father and Son have together. And those, Jesus says, to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. And this comes back to our problem. We don't know God as children anymore. And so the perfect Son of God comes. God becomes flesh. Jesus comes to earth to show us what God is like, what God the Father is like. And so he says, he who has seen me has seen the Father. And Jesus' life is extraordinary. He serves and loves other people just like they're his brothers and sisters. Like they are family. And it confuses his family because he treats everyone like family. It's extraordinary. And he honors and obeys his heavenly Father perfectly, like we haven't. And yet, instead of receiving the reward of a faithful son at the cross, the unthinkable happens. Jesus dies. He loses the presence of God the Father. It's like the clouds come in and actually darkness covers the earth. And he cries out, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why is that? Well, the answer is that he was forsaken so that we could be forgiven. He kind of loses his kind of connection with God so we could be reconnected. The clouds come over Jesus so that the clouds over us can be parted and that we can see and be restored to our Father in heaven. He comes down so that we can be raised up. There's this extraordinary exchange that happens at the cross. Our sin for his righteousness, and it's all of what Jesus does to restore the presence of our Father in our lives. 1 John 3 verse 1 says this, so see what great love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called children of God, and that is what we are. You see, if you want prayer to work, you have to pray to the Father, but the way to the Father, to get access to the Father, is through the Son. You see, being a Christian is not fundamentally about just believing a set of doctrines, a kind of truths about God. Being a Christian is actually becoming something, okay? It's actually about becoming a child of God. I wonder, have you become a child of God? Have you had what Jesus describes as that new birth? Where you've come to know God again. That's where true prayer begins. Finding our Father through the work of the Son. And then prayer is about the children of God coming and taking hold of what Jesus has won for us. How does that happen? How does that actually work? Well, we're going to just end with this. The way we become children of God is actually the same way that we grow as children of God. So if you're not yet a child of God and you'd like, yeah, I want to become a child of God, or you are a child of God, but I want a fuller experience of that, the same answer is needed. To come to the Father, we have to come through the Son. And to do that, we need the Holy Spirit. We need the Holy Spirit. This is a Trinitarian prayer. We come to a God who is three in one, who is Father, Son, and Spirit. So we go to the Father through the Son by the Holy Spirit. And we're just going to end with this scripture in Romans 8. It says this: for those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. The Spirit you received, so when you become a Christian, you receive the Spirit. Because God is in heaven, so it's like, how do I know God? Well, the Spirit has to come. So becoming a Christian is you receive the Holy Spirit. That Spirit does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship. Do you see that? To become a Christian is to kind of be adopted back into the family of God. And then by Him, we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself testifies with our spirit. So something happens. God's Spirit comes. We believe in Jesus. God's Spirit comes into our lives and testifies with our spirit and says, you are a child of God. It's like, wow. It's like, God, I don't know you. You're this. It's like, I'm going to come into you and reveal who you are now. Reveal what Jesus has done so you are known. Now, if we are children, then we are, this is extraordinary, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in his sufferings, in order that we may also share in his glory. Jesus says, the Father loves to fill his children with his Spirit. He says, ask and you will receive, seek and you will find, knock and the door will be opened to you. Loves to fill us with his Spirit. Why? So that we would know we are his children. And the Spirit takes from what belongs to Jesus and makes it known to us that we might be full rather than empty. I wonder this morning, do you feel full and secure and like, yeah, I'm a child of God. And I'm receiving all that Jesus has won for me. Do you feel empty? Do you feel that sense of lostness and weakness? This is how we who are on earth get to encounter heaven itself. And you know, we're not there alone. This is our Father. We get a new family too, as well as a new Father. So as you pray this week, I want us to try every day. We talked about last week having times of silence, didn't we? Just listening to God. This week, I want you to, as you pray the Lord's Prayer, you don't have to do it three times a day, you could do it once. As you pray that first line, our Father who art in heaven or is in heaven, just pray it slowly and ask the Holy Spirit to come and reveal God's love to you, that you would know that you're his child. It will transform your day if you do that at the beginning of the day. And just take time to wait on God to do that. Pray and ask. But as you pray, remember he is our Father. So don't just pray that for yourself. Pray that for your brothers and sisters, that we would know that we are God's children, that we would know his presence, so that together we would rise above the clouds, and there's a lot of clouds, aren't there? And that we might be in the Son before our Father, be able to hear his voice and know his love. And that's what I'd like us to do now. And I just wanted the band could come up, and we're just going to have a prayer that So the Apostle Paul obviously understood this teaching on the Lord's Prayer, because he then prays for the Ephesians, this Trinitarian prayer about the love and presence of God. And I'm going to encourage us to stand. And you can be confident this is a good prayer because it's in the Bible. And often when we get to the end of a message, we pray, God, come and meet with me. And that's a brilliant prayer. Yeah, that's a wonderful thing to do. But this prayer is a prayer for others. It's our Father. And so I'm going to encourage you to pray this. I want you to think about those around you. And pray that this would be a reality for those around you. So you're going to get prayed for because people are going to pray for you. Pray for those around you. That they would be able to know the glorious riches of the Spirit's power. And that the next slide says that we'd be able to grasp the width and length and height and depth of the love of Christ. So should we pray that for one another? Let's pray these words together. For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the Lord's holy people, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. And just be still. And we say, Amen. Do it, Lord. Lord, would those not just be words? But even right now, would you fulfill those words? Come and fill your people. Lord, for those of us who just feel so distant from you at the moment, come. Open our eyes. Father, we love you. Come, Holy Spirit, come and bring that spirit of wisdom and revelation to each one of us. For those who need to believe in you for the first time, come, stir faith. Where faith is weak, strengthen with power, I pray. Reveal your love even as we sing. Come, Lord Jesus. Just ask the Lord to come. You can ask for yourself. You can ask for those around you. Just ask for the Father, Son, and Spirit to come and move.